So if you have your Bibles, please pick them up, turn to the book of Matthew. You're looking for Matthew.
Title of a message this morning is Blind Leaders. I figured since it's election year, it was a fitting topic. At least it's a fitting introduction. I'm not going to talk about politics the whole time, you're not. But Jesus does come across a few leaders, and he calls them blind. And it's not because they couldn't see him or see things around themselves, but they no longer had a clear vision of where God wanted them to go and how he wanted them to walk in that way. So as you go to Matthew, you're going to turn to Matthew chapter 15, which I think you can see up on the screen there. And Jesus has been in the midst of his public ministry. He's got some critics already, and at this point they come upon him and criticize him because his followers ate without washing their hands. Now, if you was eating without washing your hands in my grandmother's house, that would be a no-no. You don't do that. And I realize that there are some medical benefits to washing your hands before you eat at certain times. I'm not against washing our hands, but Jesus had these guys coming and accusing or criticizing him, his disciples, and the whole ministry simply because the example they were setting was not washing their hands before they eat. And they were more worried about that than they were any of the other things that maybe he was teaching. And what really, if you we dig in here, what it was is they couldn't find holes in his teaching, so they're going to nitpick the things that they could nitpick. And that's what they were deciding to focus on. And in that way, Jesus comes around and eventually leads into my title this morning. So you guys are focusing on the wrong things, and it's hindering your ability to impact other people and to lead other people well. Oh, you're having an impact. You're doing something, but it's not a good thing. We said last week that we would take a couple of Sundays here in January and try to figure out what to do in the year to come. And I don't know about you, but for me, the political commercials are already beginning. We hope to go see my family in Florida here in a few weeks. I've yet to discuss that with the deacons. We're going to talk about that tonight, but I'm hoping to go down. The only thing I don't like doing in Florida when we go during an election year is that my dad loves to watch. He leaves the TV on all day. And I don't know if it's everywhere like this, but it's just a constant barrage of political commercials. And by the time you get there, I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but my feeling on it is by the time I get there, I'm like, please let me vote so the commercials will stop. I just want to get my vote out there and say what I think needs to happen. I just don't want to see that anymore. And I have to wonder if Jesus was facing some nitpicking leaders in his day, if that opinion wasn't spreading around. People were just tired of getting picked to death. Just go on and do your thing and let us be. We'll figure it out. Well, that's a terrible thing to think about leaders. And it would be even worse if people thought about Christians that way. Well, I don't want to be around that Christian because all they ever do is tell me what I did wrong. I don't want to be around that individual because all they ever do is nitpick all the pieces of my life. They never let me rest from it. Now listen, you have to speak on sin. If sin is keeping someone out of heaven, you absolutely need to speak on that. But Jesus is dealing with followers, his disciples, who had already made a decision to follow him. So what does he need to focus on with them now? He's trying to teach them what the kingdom looks like. And these guys are worried about whether or not they wash their hands. Let's wait in here in Matthew chapter 15 and see how Jesus deals with it. His answer to them is in verse 3, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God made this commandment, or commanded, saying, honor your father and mother. And he who curses her father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father and mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift from God, that he need not honor his father and mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God without effect or of no effect because of your tradition." So you might not understand this completely, but here is the gist of it all, is that they were nitpicking human commandments or things that people said were good ideas to do, and they were overlooking or soft pedaling on the commandments of God. God had made some very clear statements about what he wanted his people to do, and they were soft pedaling those. We don't want to talk about those, but we've got these other rules over here. And if you would keep these rules, then it would keep you away from those rules. You wouldn't get close enough to those to break them. That was the thinking. And so I think the thinking was good. We're trying to make some rules to keep you from messing up over there. But Jesus says, while you're worried about whether or not we washed our hands, you're teaching people that if they help their family or if they honor their family, fine. And if they dishonor their family, no big deal. That's a commandment. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Why would you throw that one off or rearrange it to make yourself feel good and fuss about whether or not somebody washed their hands? There was an imbalance, right? The understanding of what was important and what wasn't had disappeared. They had so many rules that they could no longer see clearly that the Word of God should be our main priority. If the Scriptures say, do this or don't do this, that's where we should be operating because that's the Word of God. But these other things, we don't really need to just flood the market with this stuff. I wonder if your brain ever feels flooded. I wonder if your brain and your heart. Now, I know some of y'all got too many tabs open because you got too much stuff going on in your life. I get that, okay? Actually, I don't get that. My wife gets that, all right? That's not a guy thing. That's a girl thing, apparently. But I understand that happens. That's not what I'm talking about. I wonder if you flooded your thoughts about worrying whether or not you please God on all the particulars that He really didn't command you on and have gotten to the place where you don't even think about the ones He actually wants you to obey. You flooded the market with what people think and no longer can actually hear what God thinks. And we talk about blind leaders, but that's how they got where they were. They were so concerned with what everybody in the culture thought about whether or not somebody was offended that they no longer had ears to hear. What does God want? Does God want me to reach out to my neighbor and love them? I ain't got time for that. I've got all these other things that people are worried about. Does God want me to go on a mission trip? I don't know about what God wants to go on a mission trip. I'm just worried about whether or not, you know, my grass is the right height so my neighbor doesn't talk about me next week. You say, well, nobody worries about that. Yeah, some people do. So before we're hard on the blind leaders in the Bible that Jesus is having a toe-to-toe match with, let's understand how they got there. And let's also understand that Jesus isn't just trying to make them feel stupid. Jesus is actually offering them life. He's trying to get them out of that place where they have flooded the market with worries and fears that do not matter so that they can once again stand up on the rock that is Jesus Christ and say, Lord, what did you save me for and what do you want me for? I don't know about you, but that's where I want to be. But what we often get is that where nobody really knows what God wants and nobody's really even concerned about it anymore and we're all just, well, to borrow an expression that dogs would relate to, chasing our tails. Let's see where that leads in our first scripture here this morning. Jesus tries to give a picture of what's going on in this culture. He said, these people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Now, this is really what I was just describing to you, so there's no need for me to expound this further, except to say this. This came from an Old Testament prophet. This is hundreds of years old before Jesus comes on the scene and is birthed to Mary and Joseph and then lives out of a public ministry as a man. This is what God said about the nation of Israel before they were going into captivity. They had gotten to a place where they honor me with their mouth, but their lips, but their heart, it doesn't connect. They know what to say, but the actual do something good from the heart's not happening. Obedience from the heart's not there. They can go to synagogue every week. They can go sing praises to my name. They can even hear the scrolls read or the scriptures read in public, and it doesn't stir anything in them. But they know what to say. And they know how to say it, but their heart, it's not stirred anymore. But Jesus quotes this in Isaiah, he quotes it intentionally, because Isaiah was trying to let the people know you're in a place where God's going to have to deal with you because you won't listen. And he's quoting this to his audience in his day, saying, we're there again. We went into exile. We came back. We've been under the Roman government for a while. That's not good. It's rough. But we have gotten to the place where in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines and commandments of men. They're more worried about what men think than they are about what God thinks. He called the multitude to himself after he says this. He says, now, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth defiles a man. In other words, it's not that whether or not I washed my hands that's going to determine if God loves me and accepts me. It's not whether or not I washed my hands before I ate that's going to determine whether or not I can love my neighbor well. It's what comes out of my mouth. His disciples came to him and said, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? Now, y'all, do you underline in your Bible? Yes? No? Okay. If you have a problem with people getting offended, you might want to underline this part of your Bible. I'm just saying. I don't know if you want to quote it to anybody, but you might want to remember it. It's not on the screen. But verse 12 and 13 of Matthew 15, the disciples came to him and said, do you know the Pharisees were offended when they heard you saying this stuff? And he answered and said, every plant with which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. That's the part you probably want to underline. Because if you live in the day that we live in, somebody's going to get offended. Yes? And Jesus very gently says to his disciples that if God planted those individuals and their opinion needs to matter, it will. But if God did not plant those individuals and they are not listening to God, then he will uproot them and he will deal with them. Say, Greg, why would you want me to underline something as terrible as that in the Bible? Because how much of your time do you spend worrying about whether you've offended someone or someone is offended? How angry does that make you? Somebody asked me one day, Greg, why don't you get mad about such and such? I said, well, it's kind of simple. I have better things to spend my temper on. Well, that's an offensive statement. I said, yeah, it might be, but that's what it boils down to. I have better things to spend my temper on. It's not that I don't have a fuse. It's that I decide which stick of dynamite to put it into. And some of those things are not worth my temper. And that's really what Jesus was given to the disciples, and maybe something that we need to take for ourselves. There are some things in this world that people think about you and about the culture and about the surrounding that are not from God. And you need to quit putting your fuse in it. You're blowing your stack and losing your temper over stuff that you've not yet changed with your bad temper. Amen. Okay, I just want to make sure somebody said it. And at some point, you got to look at that and say, yeah, but if somebody doesn't get mad and change them, I want you to slow down and listen to that for a moment. If somebody doesn't get mad enough to change them, you think you getting mad is going to change their heart. I want you to think about that for a minute. You ruining your day is going to change them. Jesus said, if God planted it and it needs to grow, it'll grow. But if God didn't plant it, he will uproot it and it'll go away. Don't waste your time. Have better things to think about than that. I don't know who God wanted here to hear that this morning, but there you go. There's 2024. You don't hear another sermon, that might do you. I don't know. But we probably need to learn that, because if Christians get busy not getting offended and angry at everything all the time, but get busy listening to God, then a change can occur. Because as we listen to God, then people hear the Word of God. They come in contact with Him to know Him as their Savior, and that can change them. But us getting angry and losing our temper over every time somebody gets offended, that don't do a whole lot, folks. It might make for good conversation. I'm not really sure I would label it good conversation, but it'll make for conversation. Amen, preacher. Man, I'm just so glad you said that today. I always want somebody to say that. Me too, Greg. Thank you. That's not even the sermon. That was a soapbox. Let's go to verse 14. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, they will both fall into. If he didn't say it enough, if it wasn't clear enough that if God didn't plant that tree, it'll be uprooted. Then he says it this way. You go ahead and let them fall in the ditch, but don't go with them. That's what he was warning. And it should be said here that Jesus is warning his disciples against the religious leaders of his day. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, those that were criticizing his ministry. He said, hey, if they got something good to say, great. He said, but if all they've got to teach is the commandments of men, you probably want to let them go ahead and walk that out. And be sure of this, wherever it walks is not going to be good. And that means you don't want to be with them. What if they're politicians and they're making decisions for our country? Well, Jesus was living in that too, so he's not blind to that. As a matter of fact, 70 AD proves that the political situation in Jerusalem did not go well when Rome destroyed it. But the destruction of a country can also not be stopped by your temper. What can be changed is your heart and the hearts of people around you. And if everything falls apart, God forbid, then there'll need to be a few pillars of truth and love. Some people who can hold the line of what is right to look to so they'll know where to go next. Do I want it to go that way? Absolutely not. But does it happen? Yeah, it does. Jesus is preaching the kingdom. Which kingdom is he preaching? Rome? Jerusalem? Israel? Greece? Egypt? Which kingdom is he preaching? The kingdom of God. Do you think Jesus knows that if I preach the kingdom of God, that some earthly kingdoms may fall? Earthly institutions, man-made institutions may fall. But what will endure? Yeah, the kingdom of God. That's what he's after here. So before you get mad at me because I didn't jump on your particular political bandwagon, let's keep something clear. I'm not here to tell you which political bandwagon to get on. I'm here to remind you that if you trust Jesus Christ as Savior and claim to follow him, you have a kingdom to serve, and it's not any of the man-made ones on this planet. Pay your taxes? Sure. Vote? Absolutely. Give him your soul? No. And Jesus says some of the things we give our mouth to is connected to more than just our tongue. You're giving your words away, your breath that God gave you away, and it's connecting something in here. And so you're kind of giving a part of that away too. And what's in here is not for everybody. This in here belongs to God. And this right here that he put between your ears, that belongs to him too. He made it. So make sure you give the right parts of yourself to the right one. And let the rest of them alone. They may fall in a ditch. I love some of them. I don't want them to fall in a ditch. But I sure ain't going with them. Okay? Now, what do we do with us? Let's go there. Now, we've already talked what not to do. Let's talk about where we should go. What do we do with our year? We got decisions to make, man. We got people to see, you know, stuff to do. Peter answered and said to him, Lord, you got to explain this parable to us. So Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? I don't need to go any further than that. If you can't get that particular down, then I'm not going into that. Verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile a man. I think we've got that up here now, right? Yeah. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. So you want to talk about what's defiling people? That's defiling people. Now, Jesus was a good Jew. I don't think he ate bacon, y'all. But he didn't preach on not eating bacon. He didn't preach on what went in the mouth. He preached on what came out of it. And I probably ought to put this here too. If you're putting certain chemicals in your mouth that affects what comes out, then you need to be careful. All right? I'm not just like giving everybody a blank ticket, like go and drink whatever you want, take whatever you want, pop whatever you want. No, that's not what this means. He's talking about food, okay? But he says the greater concern is what comes out. I don't even remember how old I was, but I remember at one point connecting in Ephesians where it says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. I thought, Lord, why did you tell Paul to put those two together? And I was talking to a guy that knew a thing or two about drinking. And he said, Greg, all the drinking does is lowers your inhibitions. I said, you got to help me out. He said, yeah, it just removes your worry about what you do and say so that whatever's in there just bleh. Oh, so my stepdad that was abusive and violent when he got drunk. Yeah. My brother was hurting on the inside and the alcohol just lowered the inhibitions and so it just all flowed. Man, that's a pretty good piece of wisdom. Then I put that together where in Ephesians it says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. I thought, wait a minute. What the Lord's saying is that the Spirit can repair the inside and lower the inhibition so I can be myself, but it's led by the Holy Spirit. Now I got a good thing flowing. Whereas when the alcohol or the chemicals or substances drops the curtain, bleh. I've seen some people that when they get wasted, drunk, they get sweet. Super sweet. With everybody. Too much. Okay, that was you shouldn't have had that, right? But when the Holy Spirit's got a hold of somebody, they can also be kind and sweet to others, but the Holy Spirit is also gauging that individual, right? Leading them so they can be kind to someone and not go over a boundary they shouldn't be over. I hope that makes sense because I really don't want to get more particular than that. So what do we got here? Well, there's stuff that's going to come out of your heart. And when you find that what proceeds out is in this category of this list, and this is not an exhaustive list, but a list, that you find that there is more often evil thoughts coming out. Like you're just mad at people all the time. You find that murderous, like, man, if those people would just die, then everything would be better. I've had moments like that. I can understand that, but that's not from the Lord. Adulteries, I don't think I need to go into that one. Fornications, that's kind of in a similar category. Thefts, I mean, what can I get from other people so I don't have to give to anybody? That's kind of the mentality there. A false witness, if I'm constantly backpedaling, trying to think of the way I want to say this so that, you know, I get everything I want and everybody. And blasphemies, giving credit to things that are not God. I find all this coming out of my heart. The problem is not the world I'm in. The problem is the relationship with God right here. And Jesus says, if that begins to be repaired, oh, now we're getting somewhere. So, man, Greg, you just don't understand. I work with somebody. I live with somebody. I have situations in my life that stress me out and they cause me to do these things. No! You have people and situations and stuff in your life that are poking the bear so that you can recognize that it doesn't honor God. And then say, Lord, this, I see it. I see it now. That doesn't mean that the people that poked the bear were innocent or the people that did those things to you are off. They're just like off the hook. You know what you do with those people? We already talked about it. If God planted them, they'll grow. If God didn't plant them, what will he do with them? Pull them jokers up by the root and get them out of the way. He'll take care of them. And that kind of faith allows you to begin to go, Lord, what about this heart? I know what I'm putting in. I hear, man, information, people, relationships. If you're around some people that are bad influences, man, you're absorbing that stuff and it makes you just feel ick. I get it. I understand being around that kind of environment. But at some point, you have to look at your Savior and say he was in the midst of an environment very similar. And how'd he handle it? And you got to look at the others. It says, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the... That means that there was, even if it's the devil in somebody, Jesus says, there's something better in you that's in that person. You got it. It means in the year to come, it doesn't have to get your goat. You don't have to follow the blind into the ditch. You don't have to. You don't have to give your heart away and just let him ruin your day. You don't have to. You and I that have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have a choice. It doesn't mean those people are going to change. It does mean that I trust the Most High God will take care of them in due time. And I'm going to walk with him. So, you're going to go out of here today and you 100% this thing, right? You're never going to let anybody get to you again. Boy, it's going to happen. You know better. If you've been on the plane any amount of time, you know better. You're going to have down days. You're going to fall. You're going to fail. But did y'all see the sign when you came in this morning? By the way, nobody stabbed me in the back, okay? That wasn't like a passive-aggressive statement that, you know, somebody's out there, a Judas Iscariot. That's not what it was. It was a reminder to me this week, and I wanted to put it on the church sign, that if Jesus can forgive and love Judas Iscariot, then he can love me. He can love you. You say, but I failed. Yep. I bet you didn't fail as bad as Judas did, though. Okay? You failed. It's all right. He loves you. And I'm not giving you an excuse to go mess up all the time, you know, but you failed. Now let him pick you back up. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. But he doesn't want you to stay in that mess. He loves you way too much to leave you in that mess. And the world is like misery-loving company. They want to drag everybody down with them. And if you're having a bad day, you know you like to wreck other people's day. You don't want to admit it in church, but you know it's true. How you doing? I'm having a bad day. You probably ought to quit asking. You never say that. What you say is you puke on them, right? Okay. We who are of Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit in us have something better than that. Amen? Amen. He's given us life. He's given us hope. And we all gonna have bad days. I was talking to Philip May before church this morning. I had to apologize. Philip and I went out Tuesday morning. We had a men's, you know, meeting on Tuesday morning. I had to apologize to him. I said, man, it has been a rough week and I'm sorry for anything I said on Tuesday. And he was like, yep, I know, I've had those too. And we just kind of, okay, we'll try again next week. Let's try not to be that way. Philip, I gave you public cred, but you know my wife gets a lot more credit for that kind of stuff in my house. It happens. But God still loves you, and He still wants to see your life change from the inside out. And y'all, when that starts happening, man, you're going to find a world of people who want to know what you've got. But if you just use your mouth the way everybody else uses their mouth, there's no reason to ask. They know how to do that. They already know how to do that. All right, so we've got some what not to do's. We've talked about like what gets us here. Remember, the flood rises, we're no longer listening to God, and then this stuff is the result. All right, so where do we... You got to begin to dig down. Some of y'all this year have already started trying to stick with a reading schedule. Okay? What's the date today? Anybody? All right, it's the 14th, right? Okay, so I started reading Matthew on January 1st. I just finished Matthew chapter 12. I'm already 2 days behind. Are you kidding? Okay, it happens. I'm just telling you, it happens. Don't quit because you got a couple of days behind. Continue to dig down in your personal life and try to find the Word of God. Because the flood of what everybody thinks will flood your thinking and you will forget the Word of God. But start digging. And then in faith, say, Lord, I want to know what you want from me. Some of y'all asked me before, say, where do I start digging? I even overheard a conversation in the hallway about why the book of John, book of Mark, book of Luke, which one? Listen, if you don't know where to start, I'm going to give you, this is a simple, we have devotional books that are free to you in this hallway. Go pick up a devotional book. It's like, some of y'all remember Daily Bread. Okay, it's just that kind of thing. And you've got a little short snippet every day and a scripture verse. Y'all, that's gold. Don't ever anybody make fun of that. It's gold. And if you're not sure where to start, that is a great place to start. Pick it up every day. All right, I'm going to let y'all out early, I promise. But I got one more story, and I'll let you go. Okay? This is my last story. What do we do, Greg? How do we dig down? How do we find this? All right, this is my last one. You say, I don't like a devotional book. I don't want that. Okay, I got a good buddy. His name is Tim. It's not Tim Hofling, although you are my friend too. But it's a different Tim. He just retired from being a mechanic. He worked in the same shop for all of his adult life. And at one point while he was mechanic and in that shop, he came to faith in Jesus Christ. And at some point after he came to faith in Jesus Christ, somebody gave him a daily calendar, a little flip calendar. And it had a verse of scripture on it every day. When he retired, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, man, it's been 2 years already, that's quick. When he retired, that thing was worn out. He kept it on top of his toolbox, and every day he'd flip it over. It was over here at Crossroads Ford. Y'all know I work over there like one day a week, right? It's no big deal, but I do still hang out over there and meet with people and talk with people. But I would go see Tim. Every day when I went to work, I would go see Tim. And he would turn that thing over, and it was like one verse on this little tiny calendar. And he said, Greg, I cannot tell you how many times I turn over one of these, and it's exactly the verse I need for the day. He said, and I read that verse, and I have to look at it all day. He said, one of the managers comes, and I have to read it five times. One of the techs do something wrong in the shop, and I have to read it again. Just slowly and patiently, one verse a day. He didn't even have them memorized, y'all. He just flipped it over as a new one. Some of them he memorized, some of them he didn't. It doesn't have to be complicated. It just has to be intentional. Be intentional to begin to try to put scripture in your heart and follow it. And I promise it'll take you somewhere good. And the promise is rested on the faithfulness of God, not the knowledge of Greg Mullis. He will be faithful, but you got to take your heart back to that. If you would look at TikTok, if you would look at anything else and try to get your thoughts together for the day, would you not just look at the Word of God just for a little bit? It will help. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our time here together. Lord, please guide us as we go in the rest of this day and this week. Lord, please help us to listen to you, to walk with you. Lord, there's so many voices. There is a flood of information and opinions all around us. Oh God, we need help from you. Please guide us in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, with your head bowed, eyes closed, y'all all got you.